Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Thanks for joining us on the listener-supported service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois, AM 580. It's time now for our opening commodity market report. And with that summary, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Thank you, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, March wheat opened at 9.74, down 2.25 on the open. May, 9.70, down 2. CME Group March wheat opened at 9.55, up 1 on the open. May, 9.53, down 2.5. July, 7.80, up 0.5. September, 7.86, up 1.5. December, 7.98, up 3 on the open. March corn, 4.38.5, up 1 on the open. May, 4.50, up 2. July, 4.57.5, up 1.5. September, 4.56.5, up 2.75. December, 4.55, up 0.5. March, 4.61.75, up 1.5. May, 4.65.5, up 1.5 on the open. January beans, 11.66, up 5.25 on the open. March, 11.82, up 2.25. May, 11.99, up 3.25. July, 12.06, up 4.5. August, 11.75, up 6. September, 11.37, up 12. November, 10.83, up 5. January, 10.88, up 8 on the open. January soybean meal open at 3.26.50, up 1.40 on the open. March, 3.33.50, up 1.60. January soybean oil open at 46.92, up 29 on the open. March, 47.52, up 28. CME live cattle, 92.20, the open there, down 17.5 on the open. January feeders, 103.80, down 15. February lean hogs, 59.95, up 5. February bellies, 86.50, unchanged on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Happy holidays, Mike.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and everybody out there, and happy holiday to you too, Dave.
Yeah, and it is a grand holiday indeed, and holiday trade is in traders' minds, those five traders that are still in Chicago doing it. But I want to step back and look at a little bit longer term this morning with you. You wrote this week about a potential domino effect about if the dollar is firm, continues to be firm, then it might do something to metals and energies, then to equities, and then perhaps to grains and softs. And what I would like you to do is go through that scenario with me. And when you do it, Mike, do it with some technical indicators in each of the four areas I just mentioned.
Okay. You know, we have been hearing from Chicago that the contacts up there that we were going to see a move by funds out of metals and energies, and we've seen pension funds report, like the California Pension Fund report, that they're going to move out of stocks and bonds and into more alternative assets like commodities. And I think what we're trying to say, Dave, as far as the theory goes and what we feel has been the case this year, and today's a good example of it, is that so goes the equities and financial markets and the metals and the energy markets, so will go the agricultural commodities. There may be a lag time between highs as far as the energies and metals, but we feel like what got us to this point was strong global demand, and that has shown up in the financial markets and it's shown up in the energies and metals. And the agricultural commodities came a little late to the party, quite frankly. And now you've got a situation where copper is making new nine-month lows. The S&P is trading very close to its major moving averages, like the 200-day moving averages specifically. It's gone through that. It's below that, you know, by about 40 points. And you've got some longer-term chart stochastics that are showing upwards of 95-98% overbought, meaning the likelihood that there's fewer and fewer new buyers that are going to come in with those kind of stochastics. And the momentum indicators are starting to get very, very overdone on the longer-term charts as well. So what we're just trying to say is to our clients and the subscribers is we don't buy into the idea of selling out of energies and metals and stocks and moving over to agricultural commodities. We feel like that it's probably likely that the energies and metals and stocks will top first, and then the agricultural commodities will have some things going for it where they may shift some money in the short term, but it really sets us up in 2008. If we're right about that, that weather becomes and supply becomes the big, big fundamental factor that's going to drive this bull market farther in agriculture than maybe it is warranted, especially if these other markets give up the ghost.
But the whole hinge pin to this is the U.S. dollar.
I think that's right, and I think we tried to say that the U.S. dollar and the interest rates combined will lead the vast majority of speculative money flows and liquidity, and the Federal Reserve was able to put a bottom in the dollar and also keep the interest rates pretty low by the coordinated efforts around with the other central banks around the world. And I think the other thing we're looking at is what do we know best as far as history. I think it goes back to the open interest. We've talked about that here recently, and specifically we've started to see where in wheat the price going down here this week, the open interest has gone down, so that's not necessarily a negative fundamental. But in both corn and beans, we've seen the prices change. The corn has gone a little bit lower net-net, not including today, and the open interest has gone higher. That could be a warning flag that this is not a good sign coming up here. Beans price has gone higher and the open interest has gone lower. That's even more, a little bit more negative, because you don't want the prices going higher and new longs not coming in, which that's what a lower open interest would say. So early stage here, very early, you know, indicator on open interest, and that's what we know best about these markets is open interest tends to forecast best the major highs and major lows, at least how we see it. You're starting to get a little bit waffly here. We're going to discount it right now because of the holidays, but it's certainly something we have to pick up, especially after that January 11th report we get from USDA. We'll get past all this fun talk and whether they add to or take off positions, and we get brand-new hardcore fundamental data on grain stocks and winter wheat acres. That's really where the market begins, and I think as far as a new crop acres, that's where we're really starting to trade that this week. The USDA's come out with a very dicey situation for 2008, quote-unquote, and we've also got the funds starting to trade some of the and buying into some of the new crop corn and bean futures on the acreage issue already. So that started. The listener needs to know that. And then, you know, I think that open interest issue after January 11th is very, very important.
Let's turn our attention then to the energy market, where the RBOB ethanol spread has just completely narrowed. It's like down at 14 cents or thereabouts now.
Extremely supportive, and you've got a political situation where the energy bill was signed, and yes, most of the new additional ethanol that's going to come on is going to be funded with cellulosic technology and other than corn, but you still got 15 billion gallons of corn ethanol. So people that were negative and short the corn based upon the ethanol, they got the major reason that they don't need to be in that position anymore, and it's because they've got government subsidies underneath them and government support underneath them. Also, you throw on top of that that you've got some couple key inflationary reports. One came out today, the PCE report, personal consumption. That was higher, and that's got the crude oil up as well. And the trade is now going back to, well, if the people are spending here in the United States, then they're going to spend all around the world because everybody's waiting for the United States to slow down first, and then everybody else will follow. So if the United States is spending and they're going out and shopping, then they're probably consuming oil, and that means our days of supply of oil are way too low, so let's put some more premium in oil, and let's put a lot more premium in gold. I think gold is probably the most important fundamental and technical market we can watch here the next 90 days because it's our best inflation gauge, and if you break support technically there's probably a fundamental reason behind it. This week you tested major moving averages, you got a bullish personal consumption report, it's up $11, and it's well over $800, so I suspect that the next couple weeks that'll be more of a buy signal in gold, and if that's the case, that'll probably bleed over into the grains as well until that USDA report comes out.
All right, then let's go ahead and look at the grains specific. What are your key technical factors between now and the January report? Are you looking at what 9-day moving averages? What
really the pennant in March futures? March corn has a real nice bullish pennant formation and feature as long as it holds that 430 support. Dave, as far as the wheat goes, March technicals look really vulnerable, so we look like we could be setting ourselves up where the corn wheat spread starts to work here. A move below 950 in the March wheat composite would take out the trend line and the 10-day moving average support. So those are the two leading indicators right now. Bean support and resistance levels are well above the market, Plus, we're still dealing with so much more fundamental features in the beans because of South America and their weather pattern still being an issue. So we're going to leave the technicals alone in the beans for right now, but concentrate on the corn and wheat.
And in terms of hedging, where are you now?
We're sitting at the exact same spot we have been. We've got the puts underneath us in the beans, which will expire today. We're going to look around at seeing if we want to go ahead and cover those with March puts. We haven't made that determination yet. Same with the corn. We've got March puts there. We're still keeping half our 07 crop. We're still not selling any 08 corn or beans until we see those technicals give way or we see something in the outside markets that would say to press on the gas a little bit.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick, March wheat at 973. Down 3.25. That, of course, the Kansas City variety at the Board of Trade. March wheat at 947, down 7. The July is at 780, up a half. March corn, 442.25, up 4.75. December, 460.5, up 6. January beans, 1170, up 9.25. The March at 1188.5, up 8.75. November, 1091, up 13. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We're on the web at WILLAG.org.